IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
If the two-sided toaster revolutionized breakfast, blockchain will revolutionize, well, you name it. Blockchain has such wide implications for information technology. One trade group is urging Congress to create what it calls a regulatory sandbox for blockchain. Joining me with more, David Logsdon, Senior Director for Public Advocacy at CompTIA. David, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
Now, let's talk about blockchain itself for a minute. How do you know it's not just one of these things that comes along every so often in technology and becomes part of the technology landscape? But blockchain is talked about as if it's going to revolutionize and change information technology. Do you believe that to be the case?
Yes, I do, Tom. It's a method of recording transactional information by storing, securing, and sharing the data between separate parties. It is highly encrypted, it's highly trusted, and it can be applied to many different verticals.
And so what makes it different in the sense that it needs, first of all, what do you mean by a regulatory sandbox? And then we'll decide, you can explain why blockchain belongs in it.
When we talk about regulatory sandboxes, we're actually focusing on what affects the potential end user. And by that, I mean local, state, and federal end users. And all three entities are inherently risk adverse. And whether you're using a regulatory sandbox, whether you're using a pilot program or something of that ilk, it's critically important to help bake out that risk before the technology is rolled out across the board. And in a regulatory sandbox, it gives a state, and right now we're really focusing on regulatory state sandboxes on the state level, it gives the state the opportunity to kick the tires, if you will, on a specific technology, whether it's financial services or whether it's blockchain, and help bake out that risk before you roll it out statewide.
Transactions have been recorded in databases and other means, even spreadsheets in some cases, at the state and federal level for many decades. What is it different about blockchain for recording transactional data that makes it different from those technologies which have never really been regulated in that sense?
Well, again, I would go back to the fact that it is highly secure. The blockchain itself has not been broken. Several actors have tried. But it's a very secure network, if you will. And because it's very secure, highly encrypted, it's very attractive to the end user.
So encryption then gives it a quality that other technologies don't have?
The highly encrypted nature of it indeed does.
That sounds like it would make it safer than other technologies in terms of being able to be immune from cybersecurity attacks or being immune from, being altered in a way that it should not be by some party on either side of the transaction.
Well, as we know, with any emerging technology, there are bad players that are trying to corrupt that technology. And that's the same with blockchain. There are those bad parties that are trying to break the blockchain, if you will. Bad actors are looking at the use of quantum computing to help break the blockchain. But that's several years away. And there is efforts ongoing in the federal government, namely at NIST, to marry their quantum computing architecture from a security perspective with the work that they're doing on blockchain and their blockchain architecture. This is still a ways away. It is not an immediate threat. It is being addressed, so I think we're in good shape for now.
We're speaking with David Logsdon, Senior Director of Public Advocacy at CompTIA. Then the regulatory sandbox or the issues of regulation then would be directed at what might happen if a blockchain should be compromised? Is that what you're advocating?
Well, I think the regulatory sandboxes, we're advocating for that regulatory sandboxes to help bake out that risk. I think that is the number one focus of the regulatory sandboxes, bake out the risk. Work both on the and share lessons learned state by state, what's working, what's not in terms of regulatory sandboxes, with the overarching theme of indeed cybersecurity.
And one of the qualities of blockchain is that both sides of a transaction have a encrypted copy. And when you have a state or federally deployed or any kind of commercially deployed chain like that with maybe many thousands of possible instances, then you've got many copies all over the place. Is that one of the issues of blockchain that, that causes the need to look at this in terms of risk management?
Indeed it is.
And what else about it?
Well, the so-called barriers right now are focused on interoperability, scalability, and standards. In our recommendations, we've recommended that the federal government, and quite honestly, state governments can do this as well, create federal stakeholder policy groups that look at the standards landscape, look at the issues of interoperability, and address the issues of scalability, so that collectively we can gather that information and help the technology mature.
That idea of interoperability is really important because blockchains may interact with, say, systems of record, as the federal government calls them, or information systems of record. And I think that's one of the issues they're dealing with, is how do you inculcate a blockchain into a system of record or make a blockchain application with a chain underneath it to power it as a system of record? Is that something states are also dealing with or trying to figure out?
That is indeed the case, Tom. And in terms of interoperability, you may have a large state that is using one specific blockchain. You may have a smaller state that's using a different blockchain. And quite often, or we'll be seeing in the future, that it's going to take some effort to ensure those two systems are interoperable. So we want to make sure that there aren't state winners and losers. We want a level playing field for all states.
It seems like the industry has some job to do in all of this, because a lot of the big vendors are chasing blockchain. They have blockchain instances. They have blockchain. They've put it into the open software areas, but they have value-added services around their blockchain. So how on board are vendors, do you feel, with the idea of interoperability and standards?
They see interoperability and standards, as well as scalability, as the three most important areas in terms of the maturation of blockchain. We see consortiums popping up in the auto industry, other industries, but we want to make sure that these industries work together, because it's quite often these industries are cross-cutting.
I would imagine that government entities would want to make sure, and I guess commercial entities also that are using this technology, want to remain vendor independent, because vendors change and get taken over and go out of business. And if you have one of their instances of a blockchain implementation, you don't want to be left holding the bag.
And that's exactly right. And that's why we think it's important, again, to focus on and continuously focus and update the standards and the interoperability areas.
And CompTIA has a blockchain guidebook and policy recommendation set it's put out. Where can people get their hands on that?
That could be found on our website, CompTIA.org, under our research department.
David Longston is Senior Director of Public Advocacy at CompTIA. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for the opportunity.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.